First of all, welcome everybody back to the Humble Coach Podcast. I think this is episode 10 we're on now. We're kind of closing in on the 500 downloads point, which is really, really nice. So I've got a great guest on today. Is Michael Rutherford, who is a really good coach from kind of back in the old CrossFit days to a small extent, but has a significant great backstory, has some really, really great systems that he's come up with. And thanks very much for coming on, Michael.
Happy to be here.
Cool.
Ireland's my favorite destination.
I love it.
I've had three golfing careers, and the end of my third golfing career, I played Southwest Ireland. I played nice. 12 rounds in 10 days.
Whoa, nice. And,
so it was a fantastic experience. In fact, when I heard your name, your first name, I ran into a guy who had an Irish Terrier walking around. It was kind of a misty, rainy morning, and he was hunting down lost golf balls. He was in the rough. So I met that Irish Terrier, and I've been a dog lover forever, and I vowed after I left there that I was going to have an Irish Terrier, and I was going to name him Padraig.
I love it.
After Padraig Harrington.
Nice. Good stuff. Brilliant.
Thank you.
No worries. So I suppose, I think I would have a bit of an idea of your background, but could you give us a little bit of a background of your general training and coaching background, and then also kind of how you got into coaching back in the day?
Yeah, well, I went to university, and my father was a dentist. He wanted me to be a dentist, but I didn't really like the idea after organic chemistry.
Yeah.
And so I decided that I would study biology. I would study physical education. So I have a double major, an undergraduate, and then I have a graduate degree. Back in the day at the University of Kansas, they didn't really have a exercise science department. Mm-hmm. They had exercise physiology lab.
Okay.
So my master's degree is in education, technically, with the emphasis is in exercise physiology and biomechanics.
Okay, nice.
While I was there, I really wanted to be a strength and conditioning coach. It was something that was relatively new at the time, and I was influenced by several people. One most notable is an old school strength coach named David Redding.
Mm.
He started at the University of Nebraska and worked for probably the godfather of strength and conditioning, Boyd Epley.
Mm.
But anyway, I ended up working at Kansas as an assistant strength coach for a strength coach named Mike Clark, who's now with the Washington Redskins. So really my whole desire was to be in a university setting, in a collegiate setting, and work with the athletes on their strength and their conditioning.
Mm-hmm.
And so I did that for a year at a university in Topeka, Washburn University, and then left and went to work for a hospital in their wellness program.
Nice.
And then left that for a while, and then I had a marketing degree, I had a marketing experience with Nike, and then left that Nike and got kind of back into the
fitness world,
the private sector.
Okay.
And then just kind of as a freelancing, and I called it being a starving artist.
Yeah.
You know, doing private training. I didn't really start out doing much group training.
Okay.
The group training thing sort of started by accident, and I had a number of people that wanted to work out with me at the same time of day, and as a result, I just started putting those people together, and that was around 2000, 2001, and a couple of years after that, I found an online journal.
Mm-hmm.
The CrossFit Journal. It was a PDF delivery.
Yeah.
And I called CrossFit, and I got a real person on the line, and kind of the rest of that is history.
Yeah. Close. Nice, great stuff. So yeah, I suppose the, and I think a lot of people would not have a huge recognition, but you would have owned, and you don't currently own, but you would have owned Bootcamp Kansas or Bootcamp kind of
Bootcamp Kansas. My group thing was called Bootcamp Fitness, that was in 2001 that I started that, and then became a CrossFit affiliate. I ended up being the fourth CrossFit affiliate in the world.
Mm-hmm.
I was CrossFit Kansas City.
Yeah.
And sold that just a little over a year ago. Yeah. Sold my gym operation.
Cool.
And don't have that, but ran two different, slightly different programs.
Mm.
For a number of years after becoming an affiliate.
Cool. So I suppose, we can kind of look, and I know I would have got real exposure to you over the years via the likes of Rob Wolf or Eva Twardokins, even checking out your dumbbell wads and things like that from coming back in the day, which is really, really cool. And I remember loving a lot of the workouts you would post. Just really kind of straightforward and simple oriented sessions, but really, really helpful for, I think, kind of new enough coaches to CrossFit, because it gave a really good, interesting scope for adding in certain elements, but not aggressively, not too aggressively, just a really nice, it seemed like nearly a nice balanced level of health and conditioning, so to speak, nearly.
Right.
Rather than just, I suppose a lot of places will have, over the years, they'll have gone down a much more of a distinct strength and then a conditioning and then this and then this, and a very formulaic type of way. Whereas the way that you, I think, were kind of doing it and consistently probably still do it, is a little bit more balanced, like a little bit more nearly on the, I suppose, on the longevity kind of end, rather, or depending on what you're approaching. But for the general population, definitely it was a lot more on the quality of life and longevity orientation, which is great. But then I suppose in the other kind of end of it, and would be the max effort black box kind of system. Could you speak a little bit about that system and where it kind of originated from for yourself, and then what it went a couple of different avenues, but it's still a pretty solid system for improving good athletes.
Right.
So could you have a little bit of talk about that?
I was really attracted to what was going on with CrossFit. I really liked the whole idea of the quantifiable output thing, where you could get a score, you could get a number, sort of like every day was a test day. I really liked that, but the majority of the people that I worked with were endurance-based or fitness, longevity. Those were more the objectives that they had, and they were severely lacking in strength. And while they like to think that they were addressing strength issues, they were more stamina issues. And so I just started to sprinkle in a little bit of strength prior to a more moderate or shorter Metcon experience. If you look at some of the original Metcons that came out, the girls, for instance, they were really short. They were couplets, they were triplets, they were short duration. And you might not have the skill to do it necessarily right away, but they were just a lot more reasonable. They were a lot more responsible. So really the max ever black box idea was, I kind of took some information from one of my favorite strength coaches. His name's Joe Ken. He works for the Carolina Panthers, and he had this tier system. And so I liked this way he broke down his tiers into total body, lower body, and upper body.
Okay.
And that was sort of how I started to layer that on top of the metabolic conditioning element of it. And while a lot of people like to say they came up with this kind of a strength program or that kind of a strength program for CrossFitting, really, the max effort block was the original.
Oh yeah, very much.
Strength plus
strength bias type thing. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it was the original one, and it spurred a lot of other, probably even more creative looks at it. But in terms of what I was looking to do, it totally fit the bill.
Yeah, exactly. And you use You use that, I suppose, in a number of ways, like with specific teams as well as general population, and then nearly kind of towards particular groups, be it kind of family man or the kind of younger person. And I like the way that they can be kind of tweaked. That's a really, for me, it's an interesting way of just evolving certain things without making a massive, massive leap. And it means that it's you're still trying to get the real benefits from it. And to be fair, it's not, you never really have to go far away from the very basics anyways, irrelevant of who it's for. But it's, I think that's a nice kind of orientation. And I suppose it's interesting on the like you're talking about, the quantifiable nature of it. What kind of success did you find at the kind of early stages of it? With particular teams or with particular people, did you find any particular big changes, be it just because of the strength increase or because of the injury prevention, etc., or what would you look at?
Yeah, I mean, it was probably more from a performance perspective. Mm-hmm. Okay. I mean, I wasn't really collecting data on injury prevention. You know, a lot of subjective feedback and then like real hard data, like literally like 1RM's improved. Mm-hmm. I had a number of high school kind of athletes that I got to test it out on besides an adult population. Yeah. The adult population, it worked out, you know.
Great, yeah.
Famously, I think the last, right before I closed the gym, I took the basic concept and tweaked it a little bit, and mostly just stayed with singles and doubles the whole time. Mm-hmm. So looking at, you know, improving front squat 1RM, back squat 1RM, press 1RM, clean 1RM, snatch 1RM. We had like out of that population of close to 20, we had in 12 weeks, we had like about 150 new PRs.
Wow.
So literally like week in and week out.
Yeah, it's just bang, bang, bang.
So the results were pretty good. Mm-hmm. Awesome. I worked with a high school basketball one team. Those kids went up in strength. I mean, literally every week as well. Their conditioning was really good. Mm-hmm. There's a, you know, theoretically, you know, there's not a limit. You might have to change the number of sessions.
Maybe,
you need to have a deload or a back off of some kind. But when young people touch barbells consistently,
you can just make
it's almost impossible for them not to get strong.
Yeah. So that's true.
You know. So, you know, things like I have more energy, I feel great.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, very much.
Long emails, people crying, testimonials.
all the good stuff.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's great. So I suppose I've looked at it again recently, and it's a great, super straightforward system. It really is. It's really worth a look, and I'm gonna link that up in the show notes. But you also have a bit of a love for dumbbells. And like I'm a huge fan of dumbbells myself, but it's a pity. I think they're always a little bit restrictive, maybe price wise or whatever it is, but and even space and logistic wise sometimes. But I have to say I'm a ruthless kind of secondhand shopper and stuff like this. So I look for deals all over the place and picked up a nice few dumbbells there recently. So on the kind of the for sale kind of Craigslist type websites, which is great. But you would have had how long were you kind of doing a dumbbell wad for a number of years, or was it kind of just, where did you pick up that kind of interest?
Primarily? It started originally, the first job that I had in strength and conditioning, we didn't have a lot of equipment, but we did have a lot of dumbbells.
Okay.
And so I was very young when I got that job. In fact, I laugh at how smart I thought I was.
No, yeah.
And really, I wasn't very smart. So what I did was the women's basketball coach there, she was really excited and very supportive of what I was doing, but there was a conflict on the time of day they could come in as a team, et cetera, et cetera. So I basically just started pulling together more traditional kind of movements with dumbbells and building complexes, building hybrid movements, you know, off of more just traditional things.
Yeah.
And the kids did really well. I mean, mm-hmm. their initial level of strength was not that great.
Mm-hmm.
So it's reasonable to believe that they're going to get stronger.
Yeah.
Just putting any type of mm-hmm. resistance in their hand. But yeah. that was really the, you know, one of the more telling moments in it.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I was doing private training, I started to incorporate those a little bit more because I didn't like the technical aspects
yeah.
necessarily. I didn't want to spend a whole lot of time teaching people how to barbell snatch, teaching
yeah.
people how to barbell
mm-hmm.
jerk, you know.
Yeah.
While it doesn't necessarily take a lot of coaching,
no.
And you could do more of a you know, a skill transfer exercise with a barbell.
Yeah.
I just decided I'd like putting dumbbells in people's hands.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the offloading, the asymmetrical loading that you can do,
mm-hmm.
things of that nature just to really appeal to me, and I can give yeah. people a really good workout
mm-hmm.
really fast.
Yeah.
You know, it takes a long time to teach people to snatch.
Completely,
in
yeah.
some cases. In
mm-hmm.
some cases,
absolutely.
It takes a long time to teach them to snatch.
Yeah.
And so when I walk into a gym environment
mm-hmm.
and I see somebody spend 60 minutes and maybe $80 or $100 to
yeah.
work with a guy with a 5-kilo bar, I'm kind
yeah.
of scratching
nah.
my head thinking, could I have given them a better workout?
Absolutely.
If I would have given them, you know, or they can leave at least sweating and perspiring
mm-hmm.
By giving them a dumbbell,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
workout that's,
mm.
you know, has a combination of movements and it's a complex and we mix
yeah.
it in with something else. So,
mm.
It just appealed to me.
Cool.
I stayed with it. I think
mm-hmm.
I worked with some people and we had something called Dumbbell Walk for a while.
Yeah, yeah. It was kind of cool.
That didn't really work out.
Mm.
It was basically me providing workouts for
mm.
them to go do it on a track.
Yeah.
And it was like, okay, so this isn't really a business. What this
yeah.
is me giving you guys workouts.
Yeah.
So there's another thing that we have in the works right now.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the same people are involved.
Nice.
Where we're going to gyms. It's called Dumbbell Mission.
Okay, I think
we're going,
right,
to, we're going to gyms. We'll go anywhere.
Mm.
It's just in the early stages, the early launch, where
okay.
we'll go to gyms and we'll basically give seminars to coaches
nice.
And to the gym members, and with the hopes that possibly they want to launch a Dumbbell Mission
mm-hmm.
specific workout
yeah.
experience.
Okay, nice.
Okay, so you don't have a class where you have to use
mm-hmm.
10,000 different
yeah.
tools. You can do a workout with
mm.
maybe your dumbbells, maybe a rower,
yeah.
maybe a horizontal bar. I
mm.
mean, very, very like very appealing. It doesn't have to be overwhelming, you know, because
yeah.
you don't. Sometimes people feel like they have to have, you know, a true form treadmill. They have to have a rig. They have
yeah.
to have a jump rope. They have to have a rower. They have to have a skier. They have
yeah.
to, you know, the list goes on and on.
Mm, absolutely.
Which is one of the frustrating things for people is because, you know, there's only so many masters you can serve. You can only
oh, yeah.
really be good at everything. CrossFit
mm.
will make you really a good B student.
Yeah.
You know, and if you just want to have good conditioning,
yeah.
you might not need to have all those things.
Yeah.
Know?
Yeah, I think it's interesting. The dumbbells are, and I really like that idea. I think there hasn't been a big shift towards dumbbells. I know like Greg Glassman and Dave Castro and all these guys would have brought them a lot more into the regionals the last couple of years and stuff. And there's been a bit of a heavier kind of kettlebell orientation, but with the dumbbells in the regionals this year. Primarily, and even he's like kind of looking at next year, Dave Castro. The CrossFit world is nice, but in that it's pulling that into it. I do think though, and would you consider it even that some of the complex elements are like some of the dumbbell complexes. Would they be a nice addition, do you think, to the likes of the open or the regionals, or should there be a little bit more of that in like the CrossFitters or your functional kind of fitnessy person's scope potentially?
So a little history is
mm-hmm.
when I first met Greg,
mm-hmm.
I went out to Santa Cruz and
yeah.
it was really like not even the full gym. It was like half of a gym
yeah.
at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked him after spending the whole weekend there and
mm-hmm.
learning a lot, it was the man doing the thing at the time.
Yeah, absolutely.
I asked him if he used a lot of dumbbells. He said, no, I don't use a lot of dumbbells. We have them, but we're not using them.
Yeah.
I said, why not? He goes, he just kind of, you could tell that he didn't really think the stimulus was that amazing.
Yeah.
So maybe there was a better choice. But to his credit, he called me up and he said, I think I was wrong about the dumbbell.
Nice.
So then immediately, you know, that legitimized it for a lot
of
people. And then,
absolutely.
And then at one of the CrossFit certifications that they used to run back in, it was CrossFit Certification 1.0.
Yeah,
been a lot of revisions since
Absolutely.
Those early days.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody said, hey, I want you to call this guy out of the audience when you do your dumbbell presentation.
Okay.
And I said, okay, who is it? And they said, well, it's Dave Castro. They said he's like the biggest badass that ever came out of Buds in the last whatever number of years. I said, okay, let's see it. So Dave came up there and he did that. So I'd like to think there was a little bit of influence on the thinking moving forward.
Absolutely.
But back to your original question, the one thing you got to remember about a dumbbell complex is they have to score. Mm. They have to score the movement. So there has to be a clear start and a clear finish to get a clear repetition out of it. And it's a little murky in some of those. Complexes that you put together. So they could do it. They just have to think about how we're going to score this, and is it clean for us to score it this way, and is it fair across the board? So they have to have those kind of considerations.
Yeah. I suppose
that doesn't mean as a coach.
Yeah, you wouldn't be putting more
into it. You don't need to score every single thing that's going on.
Absolutely.
Or it may be a little bit murky on a few transitions from one movement to another. So
I think they
could do it.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's more on like the likes of the value of utilizing those kind of things or within the actual training, the year-round training of a competitive kind of an athlete. So I suppose I always look at like the usage of those kind of complexes or those kind of orientations of movements towards the general population, and then the kind of the wannabe weekend warriors, and then going towards the actual good high level ish kind of local high level, then you're moving towards regionals, then you're moving towards the games, things like that. I suppose it would be definitely quite challenging to add in those as scored kind of elements, but I think it would definitely help. I can see it, I think anyways, with just working, especially if the coordination, some of the accuracy, some of the agility may not be as developed with odd objects, and with especially with more and more odd objects kind of floating around in the realm, be it with sandbags or be it with even the sandbags in the likes of the games and stuff. This year, it just adds in, I think, a nice bit of proprioceptive work that may kind of be more steady on the nervous system potentially than doing lots of heavy barbell complexes potentially. I don't know what you think on that. For the general population, I can see huge benefits for it potentially.
That's a whole another conversation.
Yeah.
I think for sure. I mean, it definitely adds the variation in there that you're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
And so for sure, it's they fit in from a conditioning standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
You know, five stars.
I'll kind of go towards the coaching kind of element now. Has there been a particular orient or particular parts of your coaching life or working with particular populations that you've enjoyed the most? Be it in a kind of like working with the likes of teams, or have you found it more beneficial or more enjoyable to work with the general population? And has there been, obviously from a coaching standpoint as another coach, we love the technical type stuff, or I do anyways at least, and I love the educational kind of background, which is really interesting what you said about that, but I'm assuming it's still the nice smiles and it's like those lovely emails and stuff like that that kind of get you going. But has there been any favorite kind of events over the years or teams you've worked with that you've really, really enjoyed coaching, and for any particular reasons, be it just the success or the actual buy-in from the athletes or the people. Have you had any particular big experiences like that that you would...
Well, I probably, if I just reflect on every population that I've worked with, it all breaks down to like a one-on-one experience, no matter how you do it. And it's really just trying to get people. We have such a big task in front of us. We probably have more information every day. There's more options, fitness options for people. On every corner.
Absolutely.
It's ridiculous. But still, we're not getting healthier. In the United States, at least, we're not getting healthier. We're not spending any less on diseases that are preventable. So, you know, it's I think I just kind of keep it one battle at a time, one day at a time, 1 hour at a time, and just try to get people to buy in, to be consistent, to show up. There's a book I tell everybody to read. It's called The Slight Edge. And it's based on the idea of compounding, right? So if you put a dollar in the bank every day, and you can do that starting early, and you can do that until your latter years, that's going to draw compounding interest, and that's going to be a significant amount of money over time.
Completely.
And it's the same way with small choices that you decide to make every day. Like showing up to your workout. Just you show up more times than not.
Get started in the warm-up and you'll be fine.
You decide, you decide I'm going to have more water. I'm going to eat cleaner. Those are small things that become big. They compound over time.
Absolutely,
And so what we're trying to do, I think, as a profession, is move people into these more to making these better choices, these slight edge choices, and then every once in a while you get punched in the gut because you find out a guy that has been successful for three straight years decided to push the fuck it button, and they stop making good choices, they stop working out, they see you out in public and they start running the other direction, because they know that you're going to be disappointed, and it does disappoint me, But really, that's really what it boils down to, is those one-on-one experiences and trying to get people engaged, to keep them doing it. The people always feel like that they have to have this fire in their belly to go work out. It's easy for you, Rudd. It's easy for you to go work out. And that's a bunch of hogwash. It's not. You know, you got to just think about it as a purpose. And this is the this is my purpose, and it's not. You're not going to be fired up to do it
all the time. So 1 second.
Sorry about that.
No, you're okay. Go for it, Jeff. But exactly, you're not going to be fired up all the time. Like you're going to have to.
You're not going to be fired up to go work out every day.
No chance.
It's like you're not going to be excited to eat, you know, whitefish and broccoli.
Exactly.
You're not going to be. But it's just fuel. You know, it's just fuel. And so you just, if you make more choices in that direction, you're going to tilt the table, but you're going to tilt the odds in your favor. We know now that probably 70% of whatever happens to us, we can control it. We can control it because we're more active. We control it because we eat better. We control it because we sleep better. We control it because we moderate things that make life enjoyable. And we want to, you know, we want to have that in our life, but we're responsible about it. And, you know, we so anyway, that's probably, if you ask me what's my favorite population, my favorite population is the population that I'm currently working with.
Cool. You know? Good stuff. Nice. And I suppose on that kind of that other end, then from the members or the population kind of point of view, have you any particular advice for kind of younger coaches or even some more mature coaches who've been kind of been around for a little while? Like I know a lot of the time we'd kind of go with, okay, look, you can't stop learning and you got to keep hanging out with different people and so on. But I think like even your last point is a nice refreshing return back to, it's still irrelevant of whether it's a class orientation or it's a team orientation or whatever. It really is just the person at the time and that hour. You can only do what you can do within that. So, would you have any other kind of advice for anything that's really worked for you and that you think younger coaches are kind of missing out on these days a little bit potentially?
I think sometimes what happened, and I'm able to either tune it out or I don't pay attention to it as much, is that people try to get really creative and with their programming. They try to they overthink it.
Make it's it just too like,
it's a lot of coaches are wanting to demonstrate their wonderful knowledge base, like how much they really know. So they try to get cute with their training.
Yeah.
They put a population into an environment that they don't have any business being in.
Yeah.
You know, if you keep it simple and you focus on the basics and you're consistent and you're authentic, you're the genuine article, do the simple things, do them over and over. Somebody was that I mentor a little bit. Came to me with all this big book. He had this big notebook. It had all these pages, and he had sheet protectors on them, and he had all this shit, and it was just, I said, Brian, look at all this. Look where you're going. Like,
it's craziness.
And he's like, so coach, what would you do? And so I showed him, this is what I would do. I said, put another kilo on the bar.
Yeah.
Every time you come back to this movement, put another kilo on the bar. So I like to say, you know, it's just doing the work.
Yeah.
And so I said, shovel coal, fail water,
you know it.
Saw wood.
True story.
And repeat. Shovel coal, bail water, saw wood.
Absolutely.
Just do the simple things. Yeah. Do them consistently. Mm. When you run into a wall, then you're going to have to be a little bit smarter. A guy that I respect a lot, who's been around a long time, is Dan John, and he said, if it's important, do it every day. If it's not important, don't do it at all.
That's
so
true.
We got all this crazy ass, these crazy movements that you know people try to work into their program. And I mean, if you're going to try to be in the CrossFit games and you're going to try and that's how you make your living, then you got to do that.
But exactly.
90% of the people walking around out there, they don't need to do it because guess what? Yeah. They ain't going to
And they're not going anywhere close to the CrossFit games.
Not anywhere close.
Yeah, that's true. I think that's one of the... an interesting one, like that consistency of stuff. I know, like, for example, with any of the classes that we would teach or any of the people that I would work with, I'm a huge fan of just like, okay, give someone a bar or give someone a kettlebell. I'm going to go, cool, we're just going to work through this for 5-10 minutes. And by that time, they're like, they're either really warmed up or they're like, I have a little bit more of appreciation for this particular thing without adding an awful lot. And then we go, oh, cool, no problem. We'll add the bar. And I suppose it's a little bit naive, but I like it a lot, the kind of saying of like, well, the strongest people in the world start with a bar, so you're starting with a bar, kind of a thing, you know? And the same, like, I always love when people, they'll wander over, we go, cool, we look for a moderate kind of weight, and then they'll go for the colored kettlebells, and they're like, oh, God. So I'm like, well, just pick something straightforward. So one of my favorite ones would be just a nice kind of bottoms up dumbbell or kettlebell kind of carry or press. And that usually cleans out a lot of people straight away. But yeah, so I think that would be that's a really good simple way of kind of working it. To kind of finish off, I suppose, would you have the dumbbell mission coming up? Have you any other interesting projects kind of floating around or?
I'm working on a project with my friends at Breaking Muscle on an ebook project.
Nice.
Cool. Called The Second Half Playbook.
Oh,
and,
nice.
It's going to focus on strategies and experiences that I've had. And
great.
From a coaching standpoint or from an athletic standpoint.
Nice.
For the 40 plus athlete.
Okay.
I say 50 plus. Yeah. I'm well over 50.
But I'm on the way to 40, so that's all good.
Listen, don't start. You got a lot of years.
I got a bit of time.
But anyway, so that's one of the things I'm working on
awesome.
As well.
And then
it's
the
not getting
mission.
Out of the gate as fast as I would like, but that's one of the things that I'm working on.
Awesome. So just to finish out like that, you have the any books or any kind of other interesting stuff floating around? I know the Slight Edge is a great book. Have you any other kind of recommendations that is on the nightstand at the moment, book wise or kind of coach wise?
I'm reading some things that aren't really necessarily applicable to.
Yeah.
You know, I do think that anybody who is in the training game needs to understand stress.
Yeah.
And they need to learn how stress impacts training, stress impacts recovery, you know, as a whole being. Mm-hmm. And so exercise training is just one element. Mm-hmm. So I'm a big proponent of heart rate variability monitoring,
yeah.
And I've been using one particular platform for a long time,
nice.
Since 2012,
really?
And I have another one that I'm exploring a little bit. So related to that stress is a book by Hans Sollier called The Stresses of Life, written back in the 40s. Basically, Sollier was a terrible lab technician, and he ended up accidentally turning into a expert on stress because he would drop all the lab rats. But so The Stresses of Life by Hans Sollier.
Awesome.
And then Robert Sapolsky
wrote
a book called Why Zebras Don't Get Ulcers.
Yeah, great stuff.
And so any young trainer needs to understand how that element of stress works into the total athlete, and that it's not just your workout program. Your workout program is 9% of this guy's life.
Exactly,
So you got to understand that.
And how you can,
there's a lot of things that factor into making that guy come to you and what you're, or that gal and how you need to treat that.
Completely. Well, that's awesome. Michael, I really, really appreciate you coming on.
Thanks for having me.
We're going to leave it at that. If you're the next time you're in Ireland, we got to catch up. I'm terrible at golf.
I'm really terrible at golf, but I had so much fun. It was so historic for me to be there and walk on those grounds.
I think Coach
Bergner's over there right
he's
now.
Over yeah he's over there at the moment. He's in Dublin actually. He was kind of floating around the west coast a little bit, but we missed him a little bit. There was a competition actually in Ennis the weekend, but I think they were doing a seminar in Dublin, so they come over kind of regularly enough to hear, so it's good to have you guys here. You're always welcome. So anyways, thank you so much, Michael, for coming on. I'm going to link up a few really, really interesting links for Michael, guys. He's a brilliant, brilliant coach, and we really, really appreciate you coming on, Mike. Thanks very much, dude.
All right. Thanks, Padre.
Cheers. Take care.
All right.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye.